Hi guys, I'm Lux.
And I'm Sam.
And we host Killing It, the Crimecast.
Every week, each of us tells the other about a crazy and interesting true crime case we've come across.
Some highlights include
a countess who bathed in blood,
a machete-wielding homophobe,
Munchausen by proxy leading to matricide,
murderous messages written in lipstick,
and a religious pastor being bludgeoned to death with an electric guitar.
We both love true crime, we love talking about it, and we hope you guys will enjoy listening to it.
So check out Killing It, the Crimecast on whatever podcast app you damn well please.
Bye-bye.
The body of 34-year-old Nicole Brown Simpson, ex-wife of O.J. Simpson, was
found. Really believe Kurt Cobain is dead.
Millions of people mourned the tragic death of John Lennon today.
Struggles to come to terms with the death of Princess Diana. Waiting for her.
Okay, but how is that revolting?
What
Planet of the Apes line not about a race? Insisting her first tweet was a bad joke, the ABC star later issued an apology to Jarrett and announced that she'd be leaving Twitter, sharing, "I apologize to Valerie Jarrett and to all Americans. I'm truly sorry for making a bad joke about her politics and her looks. I should have known better. Forgive
and
me."
And her looks, she mentions?
Well, that's what the Planet of the Apes
Right, but I mean, she, like, owned up to that? Like, are you fucking kidding?
"Forgive me, my joke was in bad taste. I apologize." This is a separate tweet. "I apologize, I'm now leaving Twitter."
$22,000 says that was written by her fucking publicist.
So then, at 12:28, amid the controversy, Wanda Sykes, head writer on Roseanne, you know, Black, has announced she's leaving the show. She took to Twitter on Tuesday to write, "I will not be returning to Roseanne on ABC. Update at 2:02 p.m. Eastern Time, Roseanne has been canceled."
Fuck yeah. Bye.
Mm-hmm. And this is the lady. So she is African American, but not, at the first glance, you would probably not.
Right. She's
think.
Like, yeah, she like so, passes.
Yeah. I mean, in that picture, I don't know any
it's
other ones.
It's all bullshit.
But,
like,
what?
But I'm like, kudos
what?
To ABC.
Yeah.
For being, you know, but, they're half
but
Disney,
that,
so.
But that's a good example of when things are done right.
Absolutely.
And people are held responsible for their actions, their thoughts, their words, and they're held accountable. But what's it say when your own president isn't held accountable and gets to say whatever he wants because they feel like he can?
Hear, hear.
And
but
then
when people
the rest
commend
of people,
him for
right,
speaking his
mind. You know what? Have those thoughts in private. You don't get to have those thoughts as a president.
So I started recording like 3 minutes
fine.
Ago.
Okay. So, all good.
Uh-huh.
Did we already play our intro?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's been taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
Time to move on to business, then.
Business.
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 Oh.
My...
Me.
La 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 la.
Yeah. Woosa.
Yes, okay. So, my apartment is empty.
Mm-hmm.
There's, like, nothing in here.
It's
freaking me out.
Looks like the two of you are squatters.
We are squatters. Welcome.
Do you feel like that right now?
I definitely do. But honestly, like, I could squat here.
I mean, it's not so bad. The couches are comfy.
It smells good.
Yeah. If I could steam clean linoleum...
You can.
I have a steamer mop.
Right, like
but I mean,
one?
Like, even deeper. Like,
oh,
like
you wanna...
into the concrete and, like...
Listen, I was mopping my walls yesterday, so...
I'm with you.
I'm just, like, embracing the OCD
when
at this
point.
When
we first moved into my house, because I don't know that most people listening know, but I have wood walls, as
right.
you know, and my mom made me clean them because the people previous have been smokers, and I'm sure not just them and before them and then
right.
before them and all the cowboys and the whomever have
mm-hmm.
stayed in that house
right.
have all been smokers. It's disgusting.
Yeah, I mean, it's indoors, absolutely. Like,
and,
it can seep into your furniture and, like,
well,
your...
Right, and who knows how, like, I'm sure wood should be resealed at some point, and it never
sure.
has been.
Right.
And I'm not gonna do it.
Right,
forget
yeah.
it at this point, but, like, why? And also, dirty.
Mm-hmm.
We clean them, and they will never be clean enough to me. I mean, it just won't be,
yeah.
and... On top of that, I painted the trim, because literally everything was wood. I painted the trim around the windows and stuff, and the first layer turned, like, yellow.
Oh, no.
So what does that tell you? After the
it's
second
tar.
Coat, it was fine, but, yeah, the first coat, everything turned, like, yellow.
Yikes. weeks.
And that all been cleaned already. Because it was, like, just a month or so after moving in that I decided to take that on, and I was, like, ill. But hopefully it's trapped and suffocating underneath. Oh, hello, lawn maintenance.
Yep.
You're ruining our podcast.
Excuse me.
Go somewhere else. We're trying to record here, mister. Yeah. We should put a sign up that says, shh, we're recording.
Hi, recording, excuse. Or, you know,
live could, like, studio.
Live
hot
studio
set.
Leaf blowers.
Right? That's what they have out there, hot set?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so, or we could, you know, record in, like, a studio, like real, actual podcasters do.
We don't have money for that.
Well, this sounds like a good way to transition into our Patreon.
Yeah. Do we have one set up now?
We're working on it?
I'm working on it. It's You're Mrs. Progress. Crafty, so you have to...
I don't know what the fuck to do. I have a hard enough time leaving my apartment and speaking to other people. So, like, trying to figure out what other people care about is very low on my list.
Stickers. People like stickers.
That's true.
People could always use magnets.
Although, when I was working at Disney and I would go hand out stickers, everybody, like, the adults were like, why? And I'm
really?
Like, because it's a fucking sticker. Take it. Like, it's free. Enjoy your sticker and move
I
on.
I always want it, and I'm always upset when
exactly.
they don't offer me one.
I know, right?
Just like I was upset that I did not get ID'd at one point on our vacation. But then when I'm at work, everybody's like, no, you can't be 30.
Right.
Almost
30.
Because
you don't look almost 30. I never would have guessed.
Thank you. I mean, sure, I might not look 19 anymore, but, like, I had no makeup on. I thought I looked okay, I guess. Okay, apparently not. But she asked everybody else who was young at the table, except my parents, but, like, my sister, her boyfriend, and Marshall.
Did we get ID'd when we... Oh, I got ID'd.
Yeah.
We went to Rocco's. Because I'm an infant. Like,
no, I got ID'd, too.
Did you?
Okay. Yeah.
I look like a child everywhere I go.
Well, see, that's
like,
my
when
assumption.
I walk, immediately, if I walk into a bar, they're like, hi, can I have your ID, please? And I'm like, I know that I look 14 and a half. I'm not. I'm very old. And grumpy. Like a 78-year-old man.
Yeah, maybe your ear should be fixed. But, I don't know, I was very offended. I'm still very offended. I'm like, wait, you asked all the other younger people... Except me.
That's so funny.
For my ID. Like,
Andrew,
specifically did not ask me for it.
Andrew, on his 21st birthday, did not get ID'd when he went to the liquor store to buy stuff.
That's so disappointing.
And then my friend was in there with him, because I wasn't 18 yet.
Uh-huh.
Or wasn't 21 yet. And a friend of mine was in the store with him and literally yelled at the clerk. She's like, you have to ID people. It's his birthday. And so then they redid the whole transaction. It was a thing, and we've
well,
never gone back
like
to that liquor store.
That guy just sells it to anybody.
Well, it was
so.
Over by Stony Brook, so they genuinely don't care.
Stony
In, like,
Brook.
Winter Garden.
Yeah, okay. Really? I would think that they'd be much more particular over there.
Well, they're rich people, so.
Oh, well, that's true. They don't care.
Yeah.
That reminds me of a time my mom and I were out to lunch at Tijuana Flats and Dr. Phillips.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm sure you're familiar with.
Mm-hmm. My best friend Rachel works right over there.
Yeah.
There's a hair salon over there somewhere.
Yes. So, we were there at lunch, and a group of seemingly maybe from Polk County people had come in, right? Like,
I love that that's a descriptor, like, just automatically on its own.
I know that nobody else knows what it means, but basically kind of a little rednecky
everywhere
country.
Has its own Polk County, and just... You know, that place
well,
where you think it's really grungy and you don't really ever want to go if you don't have to?
Well, the thing is,
that's
though,
it.
Like, there were only a couple cars in the parking lot because this was, like, a Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
I probably had, like, a dentist appointment or something I needed
mm-hmm.
her to accompany me to. I have no idea why we were even out to lunch there together on, like, a weekday
right.
at noon. But I was like, oh, no. I bet they're getting in, like, I think they were in, like, a G-Wagon. But she's like, no, they're probably, like, in that car over there. I don't even know why we were having the discussion. But, no, they were definitely in the Mercedes, like, G-Wagon. But outwardly, looking at them, it wouldn't be the assumption. But, you know, I'm sure they were from, like, Windermere, which
right.
would be more...
Right.
Or anywhere over there. It's a nice area, but it's a little more rural. There are people who have money and land and
mm-hmm.
maybe animals or not.
Yeah.
They just have land to have land.
Yeah.
But... My uncle's wife is telling me a really nice area near the Disney neighborhood. Because if you don't know, there is a whole really, really, really nice neighborhood that is Disney themed.
When Stephanie and I get fucking rich off of this podcast.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah.
Like the next few months.
Sure.
We're expecting. If you have to put positivity out into the world.
No, I agree. Get it back, right? I agree.
So, in the next few months, Stephanie and I are going to be ballin'.
Yes.
And we're going to be next door neighbors.
Yep.
In Golden Oaks.
Yep.
It's going to be great.
Yep.
She's going to live in the house that has the little Jack and Gus all over the place.
Oh, my God.
The walls.
Yes.
I'm going to live in the one that's covered in pixie dust.
Yeah.
Just everywhere.
Google it. I don't care what you do.
They have pictures of all of the homes on their website.
Because there's, like, celebration where it would be, like...
and you can just buy it. And it comes with all the furniture and everything in it.
Oh, my God.
So, and there's one that has... Oh, my God. It's, like, Moana or, Lilo and Stitch.
Oh,
that
so
one?
Cute.
Have you seen that one?
No.
Oh, my God. It's so nice.
I'm Googling it now.
So, it's, like, it's just very, like... Polynesian, like, islandy.
Beachy, tiki bar.
But it's still classy, like, on the inside. And the outside is, like, there's this dope-ass, like, infinity pool that runs off into a hot tub, and it's just the coolest fucking thing.
I think I want the Lilo and Stitch, though.
I don't think so. You have to look these up. So, once you see the one with Jack and Gus running around and the giant gold door, you're gonna want to live there. It's gonna happen.
I mean, you guys... Google it. It's phenomenal. And I think when you move in, you get, like, a membership to Disney. Mm-hmm. Like, you have a pass. You don't have to
pay. It's automatic.
I
mean, these are $1 trillion homes, so...
I don't care.
Like, it's worth it. I'm not saying I wouldn't buy it. I'm just saying it's definitely $1 trillion.
It's definitely a much better step up than Celebration.
Yeah. I mean, Celebration's great. Don't get me
wrong. It is great, and it was great.
I would love to fucking live in Celebration.
I mean, that would be nice, too. Especially their newer part where it was a little less cookie cutter, and there's only, like, maybe 20, 30 houses in there.
I really
like the
townhomes, you know?
Oh, yeah, I love the townhomes.
That's what I miss, too.
We used to go trick-or-treating there when we didn't live in
it.
We lived in an apartment neighborhood, but there wasn't enough people there to, like, enjoy trick-or-treating, so...
I liked the, we go there every, like, Christmas.
Yeah.
And, like, just drive through and see all the lights.
Yes. Beautiful. It's a lovely neighborhood, but I feel like Golden Oak is definitely the glow-up of Disney neighborhoods.
I remember them building it, and they came and did, like, a presentation when I was working there, and they were like, so we're gonna have a housing community on Disney property, and everyone that I worked with was like, aw, fuck. How many years are we gonna have to save up to be able to live on this fucking
forever
property? If they did it at Anaheim, like, I'm gone. Bye. I would be there forever.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Mm-hmm.
No, Disneyland sucks.
Oh, my God. Get out of my apartment.
It's not as good as Disney World.
I'm telling Walt you said
Disney
that.
World. No. Look, we all have the... And I can say this because I'm the firstborn. Disneyland is his firstborn, and it's great in its own right.
Perfect. And beautiful.
Thank you.
In every
That's
way.
Kind of you to say. But then you have your second one, and your second one you kind of put everything into, and, like, Disney
and
World
sometimes
is just...
you overdo it.
No.
And fucking spoil it.
No.
Mm.
What's spoiled about Disney World?
Listen.
First of all, in comparison to Universal...
I mean...
Or other theme parks in the area, Disney World completely washes everything out.
Of
and cancels
it
everything.
It's because that was his plan. He's like, this is going to be the greatest thing that's ever been built in
and
the world.
And it is the greatest thing. Even better
but
than Disneyland.
It's not, though. Here's the thing. You go, you walk down Disney, Main Street USA, here in Disney World, okay?
Yeah.
You walk down, you see all the balloons, the castle is magnificent, it's gigantic, it's so pretty.
Yeah.
Everything's great. You see all the shops, and you smell the
candy, the popcorn.
Confectionery, and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's great. You walk into, I don't know, the Emporium and try to, like, find anything. First of all, you get lost within the first 5 minutes if you don't know where you're going. Secondly, every single employee in there is going to ignore you for a quick second, except for the one person who's standing at the door greeting you, okay? And then it becomes a giant clusterfuck when you have to stand in the line for 30 minutes.
Sounds like you just have something against the Emporium and not Disney World as a whole, but the Emporium.
Same thing would happen in Adventureland. I was at fucking Epcot, and there was this dude who ironically is now married to someone else I used to work with at Disney.
Interesting.
Test track was down.
Okay.
A child came up and is like, when is Test Track going to reopen? If you've ever worked theme parks, you know that there's always one answer, and it's, we don't know, basically.
Oh, well, for that,
they don't
yeah.
tell us. We don't know, because then they can't get mad at you.
Right.
This guy said, it's closed, and it's probably not going to reopen, so, yeah. Exactly like that. Like, not to a child, like an 8-year-old.
And he probably cried.
Was very rude. Child cried. Ran to his mom. They're never going to reopen. It's going to be the worst.
So why are you mad at... So you're saying the whole... Because, I mean, as far as, like, you and I going to Disney, I know it's very different.
Right.
Than, like, a tourist going to Disney.
Right.
But those interactions are important, and I agree that that was wrong. But the Emporium and or one employee's interaction doesn't cancel
right.
out how great
no,
the
you're
rest
right.
of it is.
But I worked there for 6 years, so I saw a lot more than just that stuff.
Sure.
When you go to Disneyland, you walk into the park, you see the literal railroad that Walt himself drove around the fucking park. He designed it, the Santa Fe Railroad number 1, the original, right there. You see his fucking apartment. When you walk in, it's on the left. You can just look up there and see the little light they leave on for him. You can walk through the park and meet everyone. You can meet Barbara, who's worked at the Emporium for 35 years. Or you can meet fucking Hector, who was the chef there from 1955 when
this
opened.
Sounds like...
It's so cool.
But you've got to remember, there's still people at Disney World who have those same experiences.
Yeah.
Just because you didn't talk to them or you don't know their names doesn't mean there's not people... I mean, my stepdad's been there for over 20 years.
That's cool.
My other family friend, Kathleen, she's been there for over 20 years. My grandmother was there since, like, they opened.
But, like,
working in the castle.
Like, roam around Main Street. You can chase Peter Pan through Fantasyland.
Then,
like,
then
that's the
Disney
coolest
World
thing.
Just needs to do it differently.
Exactly. Alice in Wonderland, the whole
Well,
Alice
what happened to the horses?
Set,
I used to
party.
Love the horses that came down Main
exactly.
Street. They're gone.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
But
is
you can
everything...
still go get a haircut in the barber shop.
Which is cool. I love that. That's
yes.
my favorite thing, probably.
There's some things, and, you know, they used to have the Disney's cast member party where you
sure.
could bring the kids.
Right.
You know, when I was little, that's what we did every mm-hmm. Christmas. We'd get a family picture. They'd send you a couple weeks later, like, a cute
mm-hmm.
little Disney Christmas frame.
Right.
That doesn't happen anymore. You should be free cookies, free
That's
hot chocolate,
what I'm saying,
and everything.
Is the thing is, it's Disney
Now
World.
You're all paying to buy tickets, and you're going to Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party because they opened it to the public, which I still
mm-hmm.
think is great. I still
yeah.
think that that's fine and acceptable because I believe...
Sure.
And they throw great holiday parties
oh, yeah.
for their employees. Like,
absolutely.
I mean, beyond what you could ever dream of in
sure.
park evenings and stuff, but now it's not just, like, bring your family, it's just
mm-hmm.
you and, like, one other person
right.
can come. Like, it's no more kids being able to come and enjoy the parks.
So, my biggest thing is Disney World started out as this great, brilliant vision, right? And then Walt died a year before it could open.
Right.
So he didn't actually get to put the finishing touches on it. He didn't get to walk everybody through exactly how everyone should be trained and exactly how the park should look and exactly
well,
what everything should be.
Let's be real.
So, over
now
time, it's become very quantity over quality.
Well,
you know what I mean?
I think that's the company as a whole,
I
though.
Agree.
And unfortunately, no one else is him.
Right.
But
I feel like Disneyland is under such a...
But I've also heard he was
a,
an asshole, so I don't
well,
take it too seriously.
Bit, bud,
but... Butter. Very creative. If you've never seen the movie about his, like, early, like, cartooning life.
Mickey?
Yes. It's
so good.
A really good movie.
Mm-hmm.
And really interesting, because there's a lot that you don't maybe,
mm-hmm.
you know about the other people who,
right.
you know, worked with him and stuff, or how he really got started and how difficult it was for
mm-hmm.
him. But it's a great movie. I mean, I just think it truly is magical. All of it's magical.
It
I
is.
Mean, I hate this... When I went to Disneyland, first of all, I was, like, 15 and maybe a little unappreciative. Hot.
Mm-hmm.
We had trouble
mm-hmm.
with getting in the gate with our tickets. They, like, it was, like, a whole ordeal.
Also,
and
everything's so much smaller, so all the waits are longer. It's
well,
just how it goes.
Everything is a lot smaller, and I think I was just over it the minute, like, there was issues at the gate
mm-hmm.
with trying to figure out, you know, we were employee, you know,
mm-hmm.
employee tickets and... blah, 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 and now you gotta wait, and I just
mm-hmm.
checked out. I was just like, okay, like, this is just,
right.
like, done in my head.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm over it. It's hot.
Right.
I'm young, I'm angsty, you know, like, I don't
want to Clash album?
Like, yeah, like, where's my headphones? And, right. Like, just get me the hell through here.
But then, and then, also, to be fair, I mean, I worked at Disney World for 6 years. Right. So
you're bitter about that, sure. And that's acceptable. And yeah. I'm bitter about having to wait outside.
I mean, if you've ever walked through the Adventureland tunnels and smelled that fucking dumpster, you know what I'm talking about.
No, but I see pictures of all the Dole Whip pineapples underneath. Being stored.
It's just, like, that one section of the tunnels right by Adventureland is just the worst. It's, like, rancid when you walk through
there. I believe it.
It's awful.
But that's just driving around right. Florida in general. You hit that one spot and you're like, yesterday on our way home, something was dead on the side of the road. And I had the windows down and it was nice after, like, mm-hmm. all the rain yesterday. It was nice and right. it was cool. And we're driving home, and it's, like, some radio station, 98.3, by the way, plays, like, this whole mix. It went from, like, Nirvana to, like, Rick Springfield.
Oh, yeah.
To, like, I mean, like, just all right. over the place. But I was like, oh, this is, like, my dream, like, radio station. Like, where are we going with this? Right. Who knows? Green Day popped up at some point, and you're like, oh, sure. Okay. Like, I can do this. Anyway, and then, you know, you just run through that pass, mm-hmm. and you're like, and something's dead.
Yeah.
And if you live in land, you know the dead smell. Mm-hmm. And at this point, it doesn't really bother me. I'm not grossed out by it. I just right. know what it smells like.
Right.
And I'm like, and there's death. Is he? Oh, that's rain. I thought that was a lawn guy. And I'm like, is he, like, on?
Nope. It's 3:30, so it's time. It's in Florida, it rains every day at 4 o'clock.
Just about.
So.
I didn't bring my umbrella in with me. Do you still have my black umbrella in your bag?
I do.
In your car. It's fine. Hopefully all my tan won't wash away.
Oh, no. I'll give you a garbage bag if I have to. We'll make you a dress.
I'll wear
it
like a skirt. It'll be great. That's fine. It's fine.
But my whole thing is, like when I was at Disneyland, when Andrew and I were there for our honeymoon, we were walking through Toonland. Toonland?
Yeah.
Toonland.
Sure.
I forget what it's called.
Whatever.
I think it's
Toontown?
Toontown. Thank you.
You're welcome. Toontown Land.
Toontown. Yes. So, we were walking through Townland, and Pluto comes up behind us, and we're taking a selfie, and Pluto comes up behind us and takes a selfie with us. He just, like, photobombs us. And it's the best thing. Like, I don't think I have it up on my wall, but it is, like, you can see genuine joy in both of our faces. It's just the fucking coolest.
Marshall's terrified, by the way, of Goofy's Barnstormer.
Oh my god, why?
Because he hates roller coasters in
Andrew
general.
Does too.
And but I took him, so we went on Thunder Mountain.
Do you like roller coasters?
I've been on Kraken at SeaWorld.
Okay.
That's the biggest one I've been on.
I don't remember what that one.
It's big. It's like, it's
is
like.
Is it like the straight up one?
Yeah, it's like the Hulk.
Okay.
It goes like straight up and then like kind of cuts down and like. So, fun fact.
Mm-hmm.
When that ride opened.
Yep.
In like the 90s, my mom won or got like VIP like tickets mm-hmm. to come. Like, they were having. So, like, people will be able to come and, like, try and ride right. the ride. But they also had celebrities.
Ooh.
I know.
Ooh.
I know. And they had NSYNC. They had, like, Lance Bass was there. And LFO, which, if you're a girl who grew up in the 90s and didn't wear Abercrombie & Fitch because of the LFO song, you're doing right. life wrong. Like, that was a huge deal. And LFO was performing, and if you had passes to the ride thing, you mm-hmm. got to go to the concert.
That's great.
Yeah. Well, I didn't ride because I was terrified. My sister right. is very brave. I'm not a roller coaster thrill seeker.
Mm-hmm.
But fast forward to middle school, and we were on a field trip at SeaWorld, and I didn't want to be made fun of because I was a scaredy mm-hmm. cat. I did ride it. I was terrified. It's over very quickly.
Yeah.
I survived. But
you said that with like a look of PTSD in your eye.
There is a little PTSD. I mean, it was fine. I, you know, you get that thrill of like, oh, okay, I can do it again. Like, that'd be fine. Right. I never have. I've never rode it again. One time was plenty.
Okay.
Did
you ever ride the Hulk?
No. But the one roller coaster I do love is the Aerosmith one. Rock and roller coaster. That's my favorite. You know why? Because you can't fucking see anything. It's small, it's contained, and Disney does everything right, and everything's safe at Disney. So, that's how I feel. Tower of Terror, I've rode like 3 times. That's also enough.
It's one of my favorites.
I also cried before writing that one. I think it's school probably or high school.
So
it's too real. It's too real. Being in an elevator that might fall is a very real.
I agree. I'm actually very afraid of elevators.
Yes,
but that's not an elevator. So it looks like an elevator, but it's not.
But
so the way that it happens
is that it's an elevator. I know it's not.
So the way that it happens, because I took a lights on tour when I was working there.
That's good. It was kind of. Yeah, my stepdad worked there in the back, and it still doesn't make me feel.
So it literally. Fun fact: they have a giant couch and a very large fucking plasma screen TV in their break room, and I remember being extraordinarily jealous of it.
Why half of them work in the AC?
I know.
There's only, like, one person at the bottom who's telling people to get in line and checking measurements. The rest of them are all in the store.
Anywho, so it's literally a giant, like, hydraulic arm that comes up and grabs the vehicle and pulls it down. So you're actually going faster than you would if you were falling.
That's okay. I'm good. I don't have to do any of that.
Also, there's no ride track. And I've done it.
There's what?
There's no track. Like, there's nothing. It just goes.
Yeah, no thanks.
So when I was my seventh birthday, we went to Six Flags, and I rode the Shockwave, which is about the size of the Hulk. It's double loops also.
Mm-hmm.
I rode that 7 times.
No, thank you. But you know what I do like is when Disney Quest existed,
mm-hmm.
making your own roller coaster.
Yeah.
I could do that. Cool. Like, I don't have an issue of, like, going upside down and things. I don't really know what my issue. Maybe it's the height more than anything. Although, I'm fine going on mountains and being, like, up high.
Right.
I don't know what it is. I've just never been into it.
I love roller coasters.
My dad always wanted to take me, like, on the slingshot at Old Town.
See, those I won't do.
And I would, like, scream and kick and, like,
because that's,
there's
like,
just no way.
You can fly out real easily. But, oh. Like, so I was at Busch Gardens once, and the fucking harness came undone on Montu?
Yeah,
that
okay.
sounds like a ride. Mm-hmm. And the seatbelt was still buckled, thankfully.
Right,
but the harness totally, like, popped and, like, was open. So I'm clinging on and, like, my legs are crossed.
Maybe that's the terrifying part.
It was very scary.
What could go wrong? I also never liked Splash Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Or Atlantis, Journey to Atlantis. Like, mm-hmm. any rides like that that, like, have that falling.
Yeah.
But I ride Everest. That's still a little scary. That one still gives me anxiety. I've done it many, many times, and I even went for the opening when they had cast members mm-hmm. only riding it.
Back when Betty was working?
Sure.
Betty the Eddie?
Yeah. My stepdad took me and one of my friends from high school, I don't even know anymore who. Oh, kid named Zach. Last I heard you were homeless. If you're not homeless anymore, let me know. I don't know.
Does he listen to this?
I don't know. Who knows anymore? He was living in, like, Iowa or something. But, like, that was, like, MySpace days, so I wouldn't know. I don't know how to get in touch with anybody beyond that now. But not important. We went and rode it over and over and over and over again. But still to this day, like, I will have... I think, and maybe it's a progression of getting older and mm-hmm. realizing, like, the things that can happen.
Right.
I've just always... I still get a little anxiety about it.
I agree.
I made Marshall ride it, and he was terrified and very upset with me.
So if I go on, like, a new roller coaster or, like, something that I haven't done in a really long time, I do get a little, like, nervous,
okay.
like a little fluttery.
Yeah.
But I love it, and I want to do it a million times.
Well, like, I think that's more of it. Like, I hadn't been on Everest in, like, forever, because mm-hmm. the line's usually, like, 3 hours long,
right.
and I don't care. I've done
sure.
it. Like, I don't have to, like... experience this part of Disney, like, it's fine. Like, other people
want to
do it.
I've gotten Andrew, he's more accustomed to roller coasters, because I won't ride them I don't like riding them by myself. And when we first started dating, he wouldn't ride anything.
Yeah.
Absolutely no roller coasters. And so, we did, Space Mountain was the first one that I finally convinced him to do, and that was after 6 months of walking up to it, and you think you can do it this time? And he's like, nah, uh-uh. So we finally did that one, and he loved it, because it's in the dark.
Yeah.
Couldn't see anything. So
that's
then we did.
Also the problem with that one, though, because it's so close.
Oh, yeah. That's, like, every time I ride it, I think about the whole degloving incident.
Yes, yes, yes. Me too. And I'm like, I know I'm only 5 foot, but I still feel like I'm
exactly.
too tall to be on this ride.
If you don't know what it is,
Google it. I'm sure you can
not
either.
Squeamish, Google it. You'll find
no,
it.
Thank you. So, and then it had to be lights on for a long time.
Exactly. Yeah, which is even scarier.
Yeah, because it's very close, it's very compact,
right.
and it's dual tracks, and, like, it's a little crazy, but,
I don't think Marshall's been on that one. I don't really like that one because when I did write it, I'd always get, like, a migraine from, like, the whiplash because mm-hmm. it's very fast.
Yeah,
like,
that's how I feel about Rock and Roller Coaster because my head always hits the...
Really?
The rest.
That thing. One's... But see, like, there's no rest on Space right. Mountain. Like, nothing is, like, keeping there's your shoulders there. Or neck in place. So, like, everything is just kind just of, like,
jerked around,
flopping
yeah.
around. Yeah. So, anyway, we should probably get back
so to So, this has been a 30-minute rant.
Yeah, we have a new podcast now. It's called Disney
Theme Moments. Parks.
Yeah,
do you or parks. Don't you?
What do you do or don't you do? Roller coasters or no?
Hmm.
Anyway.
Disneyland or so Disney World?
It's Erin's turn today.
Hi, welcome. Yeah, this is Fame and Misfortune.
Yeah, it's actually a murder podcast, not a theme park
related podcast. Nope, we just both are very passionate about
so
Disney.
So passionate.
You know, that's how we go.
Disney and roller coasters in general.
yes, Fame and Misfortune, celebrity true crime podcast, also has little something to do with beauty, because pretty girls can like murder, too.
Yes, we can.
Deal with it.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay, so if you don't know us, and I don't know that we've ever actually talked about this on the thing, but we're both makeup artists.
We have talked about it a little bit, yeah.
Okay, so well.
Sort of. We've hinted at it, I think.
If you're new, we are both makeup artists. I'm an esthetician.
Yep.
I'm Erin.
And I'm Stephanie.
Did we do that already?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know.
It's not important.
Anywho, so every week we talk about a murder or
celebrity scandal
situation.
I would like to say they're not always A-list celebrities.
Oh, no.
Sometimes these are D, E, F, G, but they would have been people known in their field.
Right,
and
notable.
Or
mm-hmm. somewhat important.
In their years of time.
Yep.
So, they're important people.
Mm-hmm.
It's not strictly just, like, mm-hmm. the top of the top.
But the name of the game is Fame and Misfortune because famous people tend to deal with lots of bullshit. So.
But they're also people, too.
They are people, too.
They're just like us.
mm-hmm. Just like this people,
yeah.
Rob Knox, who I honestly had no idea who he was until a few days ago. I was trying to figure out what I was going to do, and then I started Googling shit.
Mm-hmm.
And when I did, I came across, you know, one of those videos. It's like 10 celebrities you won't believe died.
Love those. Those usually have good.
Uh-huh.
In fact, I recently saved a website that was like 25 people that have been like celebrities or stars who have been either convicted of homicide or
ooh.
Maybe potentially like committed homicide. It's where I
that's
got mine from today.
Nice.
But a lot of people that maybe you wouldn't know or have expected and yeah.
So
very interesting.
Anywho,
sometimes.
So I'm watching this video, and this is Rob Knox is like the third person in it.
Okay.
And it was so interesting of a story that I immediately paused the video and went and Googled it because I had no idea.
Okay. So that good.
So yeah, you're in for something good. Before we do that though, let's take just a really quick break, and then I'll tell you all about him.
Hi, it's Carolyn
and Vanessa
from Not Another X-Files podcast.
We're the female-led X-Files podcast you didn't even know you were looking for.
We've got plenty of opportunities for nostalgia, conspiracies, forbidden romance, and plenty of laughs.
It's true. Come on over to our place in Vancouver, Canada, and revisit your favorite 90s sci-fi TV show.
You'll be glad you stopped by. You can find us on all your favorite podcast spots.
And on the web at notanotherxfpod.libsyn.com.
Bye.
Bye.
Music for this promo by Purple Planet.
Okay, well,
yeah,
welcome
sorry,
back
to reality.
Oh, there goes gravity. Oh, go. Oh.
Okay, Eminem.
Well, yes.
So, all right, so you found a really good murder
found a really
off
good
the
one.
Website.
For those of you who don't know, I am obsessed with Harry Potter. It's an issue in my life
mm-hmm.
to the point where there was an entire month or two where I did nothing but eat Chipotle and watch Harry Potter movies on repeat.
It's not a bad life.
It was, like, a really good time, honestly. So.
I'm not mad about it.
Yeah, it was great. Yes, so I love Harry Potter. Rob Knox, for those of you who don't know him, which probably hardly anyone does, was an actor who portrayed Marcus Belby in Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince. So Marcus Belby is a character in the books, and then in the film, if you'll remember, there's a dinner party with Professor Slughorn. He has one every year, and he comes back to Hogwarts, and so he has a new one, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he invites all of his star pupils, all the ones that are doing the best in his class, and the people that he really likes, and
sure,
they all come to this dinner party. So,
This feels like that moment in Gilmore Girls. Did you ever watch that show?
I did.
Where the professor has, like, the, for Yale, I think it is. Mm-hmm. No, Gossip Girl. Not Gilmore Girls.
Gossip Girl.
Where the professor, like, the dean of the school has, like, all of the special,
when like you're, the like, elite.
The elite people who are applying to get into Harvard or whatever,
yes.
And they, you know, he'll invite only, like, six people.
Right.
Of everybody who's applied.
So it's very exclusive.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Same type of situation.
Okay.
Yes, so he's invited, Marcus Belby is invited to this party. He's excelling in Professor Slughorn's class, and he likes him a lot. So he's invited, and I want to say he goes with Hermione.
Okay.
As, like, friends.
Okay.
But I can't remember. But I know he's sitting near her at the table, for sure.
Okay.
Because I remember there's this very specific point when Hermione says that her dad is a dentist. And this character, Marcus Belby, is like, the fuck? Because obviously he's a wizard and has no idea
right.
what a dentist is.
Right.
Which is weird. Anywho, that's another.
Wait, wizards won't know what a dentist
topic.
Is?
I
guess they can magically
I think
fix
you just fix it. Or go to, like, a healing, like a...
Like a witch doctor?
A witch doctor. That's exactly right.
a witch wizard?
A witch wizard doctor?
A witcher? I don't know. Anyway, you get the idea, right?
Yes.
A healer of some sort.
Yes. Oh, God. Okay. So, yes. So, Marcus Belby is in the same grade as those guys, which I want to say in Half-Blood Prince is year six.
Okay.
Yeah, it is. And he had also signed on to appear in the latter two films. Later two films.
No, latter comes first.
Later.
So, like, if you were giving somebody options,
mm-hmm.
do you want coffee or do you want tea?
You say the latter. It's
would
the
be
last
coffee.
One. Shit.
No.
Dear English professors,
I'm Googling
please
it
help.
For you.
We don't know what we're doing.
I have to save the Golden Oak so I can show Marshall where we're going to live later.
Yes. Okay. So, he had signed
two T's or one T? What are you working with there?
Two T's.
Okay. The latter meaning.
Latter.
No, you're right. It is that one. So, it's the denoting the second or second mentioned of two people or things.
Mm-hmm.
The Russians could advance into Germany or Austria. They chose the latter option.
Yeah. Okay. So.
Okay.
We should keep score of every time you and I disagree on something, and then we Google it.
And then it's one
then
or
then
the other. Okay.
One or the other. Okay,
right.
So that's point Aaron. One point me.
Rude. Okay.
You're a sore loser, are you not?
No, it's fine.
Okay, so he had signed on to perform in the, or to appear in the Deathly Hallows Parts 1 and 2. He was born, May 24th, 2008. On my paper, it's written 24th May 2008, because this is all in British, which I love. He was acting from 2000 to 2008, so he had an eight-year-long career.
Wow.
Uh-huh. Studied at Beth's Grammar School, which I think we determined is right before high school. It's like a middle school.
Yeah, in between.
Somewhere like that.
Yeah.
He began acting at 11.
But I also think grammar schools are, like, what we consider magnet schools.
Oh, that's right.
So they're not, like, a private school, but they're not quite public. They're in between.
So it's, like, a better quality of school?
Yes.
But not, like, super expensive.
Correct.
Okay. He began acting at age 11, gaining small roles in British television shows like The Bill, After You've Gone, and Trust Me, I'm a Teenager, which is my favorite show title ever.
Trust me, I'm a teenager. That's funny.
He made his first cinematic debut in King Arthur as an extra in 2004. Nope, that's it. Oh, he also appeared on Tonight with Trevor McDonald, which is not that show that's on Adult Swim.
No.
With the dude with the afro.
That's Andre.
That's Andre.
Eric Andre. Not to be confused with Trevor Noah, the Tonight Show with Trevor McDonald.
Trevor McDonald
is like a 60 Minutes type show in the UK.
Uh huh. And
so it covers important things and also Harry Potter actors.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yep. Exactly. So he was in that. Yep. Which I have never seen.
No, me either, clearly, because
you should have heard the discussion about this the first time.
Oh, good lord. Okay. In 2007, they began casting for the role of Marcus Belby in Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, which, of course, at this time had already been, like, a giant... Harry Potter's a massive entity, so to even get an audition would be a huge
deal. I mean, an honor just to be...
Yeah.
You know, get a call in for that from your agent, to get a call back from that would be amazing.
Exactly.
To even make it anywhere, you know.
Yeah.
And then to make it into a character with lines and, like, a part is phenomenal.
Exactly. The Half-Blood Prince, for those of you who don't know, is the sixth film in the Harry Potter series.
I love the movies. The first book was required reading when I was in middle school. Because it had just come out, and it wasn't found to be witchcraft or anything weird yet. The religious people didn't care just yet. So, it was required reading in class.
Mm-hmm.
And I fell asleep literally every day.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I just didn't... Well, first of all, teachers, your classrooms are too fucking cold.
That's
Could
true.
Could we turn it up a little bit so I don't... Because when it's cold, you create a sleepy environment.
Mm-hmm.
I want to snuggle in a blanket... And fall asleep, which is why I wore a sweater every day, amongst other reasons, but mostly so I could be cozy and warm.
Right.
But I just couldn't... And not that it was a bad book. I'm sure they were great. My sister loves them and has read them, like, 10 times over,
but... The first
but
two are, like, for me, both books and movies are, like, pulling teeth to get through. Because they're so, like, young. They're very child-geared.
Sure.
And it's like, I just can't, I don't care that much.
Right. And I think maybe that might have been a little bit, because I was a very advanced reader, like, had already read, like, true crime by that point. Like, I was very much, like, over the whole child reading era. I
so
was
like,
more
by
adult.
So, like, by book/movie 3, it starts to pick up and get a little bit more.
But the movies are phenomenal.
Sure.
I mean, I've gone to see, you know, every one of them in there. They're amazing.
Yeah, I love
them. Very well done.
Yes, so it's the sixth film, sixth book, all of it. And although Marcus does not appear in Deathly Hallows, once he had gotten the part, he was signed on to be in the final installment. So in the last two movies.
Cool.
So they were like, basically, like, we like you. You fit this really well. We're going to put you in the next couple movies.
Now, was his character supposed to be in those
Not
movies?
Originally, no. He doesn't appear
so
in the seventh book.
Well, okay, so they were writing him
apart. So they were writing him
specifically.
Exactly.
That's awesome. That's really a testament to
his ability. And so to have...
Even as not, like, a main person.
Right. To have anything altered to suit you that has already been written and is already, like, script...
Yeah.
...is a huge compliment to begin with. But, like, for it to be something as big as the Harry Potter franchise that obviously nobody would want changed in a way...
Right,
...is even bigger.
Oh, absolutely.
So, they had split Deathly Hallows into two parts, which we all know.
Mm-hmm.
And he had planned to appear in both of them. So, let me see. Just trying to find my place. We're going to cut all of this. I'm trying to find dates. Okay, so, 2007, he's cast as Marcus Belby. He films at the end of that year. And then in May of 2009, before the release of Half-Blood Prince, he and his brother are standing outside of, standing outside of the Metro Bar next to Sidcup Railway Station in southeast London.
Okay.
There was a man, Carl... Let me find it. Fuck. Should have organized this better.
You know, this weather makes me feel like we should live in, like, the UK.
Right? It's very, like... Yeah. Like,
I'm
a very
okay
English
with it.
Rain moment.
Yeah, I just like being better prepared.
Yeah. Okay, so...
Good thing I'm parked
blah,
very
blah,
close.
Blah, blah, blah.
Run. Carl Norman Bishop. Okay, so they're standing outside of this bar in Southeast London, and this dude, Carl Norman Bishop, had been thrown out of the bar earlier by bouncers.
Okay.
He came back in the early hours of the morning with several friends. According to Tariq Ozerboglu, Tariq Ozerboglu, we're just going to stick with Tariq.
That's fine.
Who is Rob's friend. He's a 17-year-old steelworking trainee. He said that Rob and he were just talking when Carl appeared. Carl pulled out two wooden kitchen knives, at least 6 inches long. From his waistband.
Why? Like, why do we have kitchen knives? Why are you also looking around?
Why are they in your pants?
Well, that too, but like, also, but like, why not a pocket knife? Are those illegal there?
I think
they might be.
I think most knives are.
I want to say that they are. I don't know if you're from the UK.
Ooh, I know someone who's from the UK. What's her name? Hold on. I got this. Don't know her name. She's from the Killin' It Crime Cast podcast.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. She needs to tell us. You need to ask her.
She's great. I'm going to.
yes. Just, okay. So we just decide to carry around. Like, what state of, like, what mental state do you have to be in when you're leaving the house? You're like, oh, let me grab these two very large. I need two of
like,
them.
Like, at least 6 inches long. Which is, you know...
insane.
That's big. That's like, this is a big old knife.
Yeah.
Okay. And then he puts them in his waistband.
Ridiculous.
Right. Okay, so he pulls out these giant knives.
Okay.
And then he says, who's gonna make my day then?
Oh.
Yeah.
Nice accent.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I've been practicing it. Mm-hmm. So, you know. So he's like, he's literally looking for trouble at this point.
Okay.
Tariq says, girls were screaming. Jamie, Rob's brother, came over and said, a boy has pulled a knife on me. I tried to hold Rob back, but he pushed me out of the way and said, he's threatened my little brother. So, essentially, Rob is not having it. This dude comes at his little brother with two big old knives, and Rob's like, fuck, no, not today. And so, he's, like, going after him.
Okay.
Tariq says Rob was angry, but he's never started any trouble in his life. I think he just wanted to protect his younger brother. Rob went up to the bloke, who stabbed him 4 times. Rob stumbled back, lifted his top, and we saw blood seeping from his wounds.
Aww.
I took my jumper off and tried to wrap it around Rob's wounds. Then, as I was trying to do that, I saw the guy was still stabbing people. I told my friend Charlie, who had also been stabbed, to look after Rob. Then I ran over to the bloke and rugby tackled him into a bush. Which, I mean, like, points to you, Tariq.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's great. struggling to control his emotions, Tariq added, I might have felt a hero if Rob was still here.
Aww.
But what I did is never going to bring him back.
No, unfortunately.
I might have saved more people from being stabbed, but he still isn't here. Which is just fucking heartbreaking.
It is really heartbreaking.
It's really sad. And also, he's 17.
Poor
thing. Right? Rob is 18 at the time, by the way.
So young.
So, let's see. A number of drinkers were hurt, including Dean Saunders, 21, Nick Jones, 19, Mr. Grimley, 17, and 16-year-old Andrew Dormer. Russell Wood, 21, said that he saw Mr. Saunders stabbed in the neck 3 times. This is the 21-year-old. Mr. Wood, 21, said the guy, he's also one of the, oh no, he's an eyewitness. He said the guy started accusing everybody of nicking his mobile phone. He made me turn out my pockets. The bouncers checked him out and, or chucked him out, excuse me. So they threw him out and then the next thing we knew, he was outside with about 5 of his mates. Everybody just tried to get the knife off of him. And in the process, it seemed too many people got stabbed. So he's, like, double-fisting large steak knives.
I don't understand.
Like, how did his friends... Like, when did they at one point decide, like, yeah, we're not going to be a part of this?
Yeah, what happened to his friends he was at the bar with, and why didn't they stop him? I mean, I'm not saying they didn't. It's not mentioned, of course, so we don't really know. But, like, surely one of them could have either reasoned with him beforehand, like, you know, no, they weren't taking your phone.
Right.
Whatever the case might be, but I don't know. It just seems a little strange that they
weren't really on it or paying attention or just let him do that.
Mr. Grimley, who was also, he was 17 and also stabbed, described how Mr. Knox went to his rescue after the attacker pulled out two knives and said, "Who wants this?" basically. He says that Rob was just trying to look out for his mate and his brother. He also says the stab wound had fractured my cheekbone. Rob saw me get stabbed, tried to get the knife off the bloke, and was stabbed himself. Let's see. According to everyone, goodness, let me find it. Rob's parents, in a statement, Rob's parents, Sally and Colin Knox, said Rob was a kind and thoughtful soul who would always help out others. He'd spend his last penny on people, on other people instead of himself. The life and soul of the party, very outgoing, loved sports, would always strike up a conversation, was respectful and adored by all of his family and friends. apparently, he was a grammar school boy at the time of this incident. Yeah. I don't understand the math of that, but whatever.
Maybe grammar school is... I mean, like, depending on what age he's at high school.
Hello, singular English person that we know. Please help. Yes, trying to save his 16-year-old brother was stabbed, blah, 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 blah. Okay. Also, here's a fun... less than fun fact. Rob Knox was a member of the same rugby club as Jimmy Mizzen, the 16-year-old gentle giant that was fatally stabbed in nearby Lee, southeast London, 2 weeks before this happened. He was killed in a bakery brawl with his brother, which I read up on.
Okay.
And the craziest thing about it is that at one point, the guy who killed him took a, I think it's called a hot dish plate or something like that, which I'm imagining is like a Pyrex dish or something, picks it up. What?
I'm just a Pyrex dish.
I know, right? Picks it up, chucks it at him, and it, like, hits him and then shatters, and then a piece stabs through, like, his chest. So I guess that's how he died, officially.
Sure, okay.
Death by Pyrex. I mean, same, but only because I'm from the South. Anywho. Yes. So he was a member of the same club as Jimmy Mizzen, who had just died 2 weeks earlier.
His father. I feel like that's a conspiracy theory.
Right?
Waiting to happen.
Exactly.
So some people need to do some
research. Where are you at, Sandy Hook doubters?
I'm not, but the rest of you can.
I mean, Roseanne, where are you at? No, just kidding. Mr. Knox's father, Colin, was for many years the junior chairman of that club, where Danny Mizzen and Jimmy... played. Danny Mizzen was a captain, Jimmy's brother.
Okay.
So, Danny Mizzen says, "My thoughts are with his family," basically because he knows exactly what they're going through.
Right.
Kevin May, Rob Knox's uncle, says, "When's it all going to end? When is this violence and the carrying of knives by young people going to stop? Something's got to be done. Two stabbings in 2 weeks is too much."
It's an issue there.
It's a really big problem. Apparently, it's...
your British friend, your only British friend, because my only one is too far removed by now to know the current going-ons.
Sure.
But I know it's a big issue with gangs and, like, on the street and fights and stuff. Like, knives are a big problem there. I don't feel like...
I mean, I'm just...
it's just different because they can't have... I don't think they can have guns.
Right.
That's not available. Even their police officers don't carry.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing, but... I mean, it's just a shame.
I always just picture, like, West Side Story, but with British accents.
Basically,
lots of snapping.
Yeah. You know.
Yes, so...
it doesn't deter me from visiting, though. Let's
just
say that.
Absolutely not. Like, stab me a few times, but I'm going.
Well, no, but...
I mean...
I'm still going. I'll just have to find a kitchen knife to carry on me, too,
right.
I guess.
Okay. So, Warner Brothers spokesperson for the Harry Potter films said, "We're deeply shocked by the news. Our thoughts and sympathy are with the family." Scotland Yard spokesman said, "A man aged 21 has been arrested on suspicion of murder. He's being held in custody. We don't believe it's gang-related." So, Carl Norman Bishop was arrested. He was born in 1987. So he is, like, just a few years older. No.
87, he would be now turning, depending on his birthday,
29. Yeah, that sounds right. So he's just, like, 2 years older than Rob at the time. Something like that. Anywho, I don't do math. He was arrested and charged with murder that night. He was taken into custody and remained there until his trial, which began in February of 2009, which is very, very quick as far as the justice system.
Sure.
He was found guilty of murder on 4th March 2009 and received a life sentence with a minimum of 20 years. apparently, he reported... Police say that he reportedly showed no remorse for his crimes, which is fucked up. another thing that I saw was that... he posthumously appeared in the Half-Blood Prince when it released in...
Posthumously?
Posthumously,
right? Yeah. Is that the right way?
Probably. But he did appear in the film when it was released. I want to say it was in 2009 that it was released. It's just very sad because everybody says that he was, like, very on his way up, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it is sad. In general, it's sad.
Yeah. So, Oh, he was the 28th teenager killed in Britain in 2008. At this time, it was May of 2008. So, 28 teenagers killed by stabbing
within, like,
the first 5 months.
Wow.
Of 2008, yeah. yeah. His relatives were saying that his, appearance in this... The Half-Blood Prince was set to launch his career as an actor. So that's the sad story of Jimmy Mizzen. Not right. Rob Knox.
Oh my god.
I don't know what I'm doing.
And Jimmy Mizzen's brother?
Jimmy Mizzen. Jimmy Mizzen is the one who died. David Mizzen is his living brother.
Got it. Okay. Well, sad story about both of them.
Yeah.
But it was interesting. So, I didn't know that somebody in the Harry Potter
me
world
either.
Was like
I had no idea. They had
murdered.
Been killed. Yeah.
Right.
So, here's the thing, Britain. Fix your gun problem. And then come over here and teach... Fix
what?
Your knife problem. And then come over here and teach us how to fix our gun problem. Please.
I mean, first of all, they were kitchen knives. So let's just state the facts that it wasn't like...
Right.
In how are you going to cook food. There's only so many things you can pare down. I don't think that they sell pocket knives there. I could be wrong, but I want to say that they don't allow, like, that are not supposed to be carried. But you can't take kitchen knives away from people.
I mean...
You can't. It's a kitchen knife. Like, chefs need them. People need them to prepare food. Like, you're just... You can't...
Just... You should be able to do everything that you need to do in a kitchen with a fork.
Well, no. Yeah. That's ridiculous. So.
You're looking at me like I absolutely refuse to ever cut chicken with a spork. It's not happening.
No, it's not happening. I would never. That's not even possible.
I mean,
most you could do is shred it.
Well.
Which is fine when I want that. But
when
I always want that. So there you go.
Okay, well, we're going to take a break while Stephanie and I argue over the importance of sporks.
Or the lack of.
So there's that.
From spies to myths
and legends to world leaders,
The Bitchery of History is exploring the women who made history only to be forgotten by it.
We come out every week, Monday morning at 4 a.m. Pacific time, so get up early and get bitchin'.
Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and Podomatic. Download every Monday and remember,
bitches get stuff done.
Got it.
And we're back.
Hello.
Hi. So it's a nice rainy afternoon here in southeast London.
If only that's where we
I'm
were.
I'm just like, I'm trying to imagine that we're just chilling, you know, just like living it up.
There's like all these really fun places in
the
London.
World.
Yeah, in the world that would be...
That are not here.
They look like they're a lot of fun, so I'd really like to go there.
No,
That sounds good.
Unfortunately, we're just stuck in the middle of the swamp in Florida. Because the whole state's a giant swamp.
Somebody kill me, please.
Anyway. So, I guess our final bit is our little bit of a makeup tip, which seems to be our thing. Let us know if you love them, hate them, want one, anything. I don't know. Feedback.
Need,
I don't know.
We need suggestions, because...
Yeah.
Like, we already know everything, you know? And we're not afraid to say it.
We already know everything.
Like, all of the things, we know them, so... the thing is, we don't really understand what people don't understand about makeup, because we're in it all day, every day.
That's true.
And, like, skincare and things like that. Sometimes I forget that not everybody knows that, you know, which hazel is drying, and you have to remove your makeup before you wash it.
Oh, my God.
Things like that.
agreed. My thing is, and this is a perfect day, because I'm here in my tanned glory.
Stephanie is so bronze right now.
That I really dislike when customers come in or anybody talks to me about wanting to be color matched, but then so I match them perfectly to their current color that they're sitting at my chair in.
Mm-hmm.
Or let's say you have an event coming up and you're a bride and you're doing a trial and you're like, oh, but the day of my wedding I'm going to be tan. Or in 2 weeks, I plan to be tanner. Or summer's coming, so I'm going to be getting tanner.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then you know what? Come back to me when you got your tan on. Because either accept that you have two different shades for the time of year. I have a very pale winter shade.
Mm-hmm.
I have an in-between where I've gotten a little sun because just now the sun is out and more enjoyable to be in.
Right.
And then I have for my days like this. When I am full on spray tanned or self tanned.
Brown AF.
Brown, which is, I wish I could get this tan in the summer natural. Well, sometimes it's just a lot of effort.
Do you not?
I do, but it's just effort.
I feel like that's as brown as I am already.
And like in retail, it's hard because you're working weekends and stuff. So,
exactly.
And it's so muggy where I live that I don't want to. Mm-hmm. I was going to tan outside today, but then I'm like.
Yeah, it's kind of.
It's nasty.
Gross.
And
now it's raining, so.
But if I want to be matched to what I'm having this tan on, unfortunately, every tan reacts differently. So it's really hard to gauge what your level of tan is going to be. And it usually sometimes even alters the undertone of your tan.
It has a lot to do with the pH of your skin also, which means that when you put on foundation, it's going to oxidize differently than it normally would because your skin's pH is off.
Right. Because now we're talking about... And you should tan your face if you...
Mm-hmm.
You should get something that's face-friendly.
I think Saint-Tropez makes a face mask, don't they?
They do make a face mask. And there's other brands that make specifically for the face. Ulta makes tanning drops that you add into your moisturizer. So that's nice if you just want a little bit of a healthy glow on the face every day. I usually try to use that so that when I'm not wearing makeup...
You still look...
It's, like, a little glowy. I love myself better with the tan. I love having a little bit more color. I do not like myself pasty.
Right.
I feel like I look a little dead. so I like myself with more of a tan, but I color match myself when I have my tan. I don't try to guess, and I can't guess. You shouldn't guess.
Right. There's no way. This is not... It doesn't work like a toaster.
Right.
Like
that there's a level, and I'm like, okay, you're going to be like just two shades up. Or whatever.
Very different.
Or five.
Right.
You could be 10. You need to come and see us when... you have your tan done, especially if you have a big event. If you are getting married, you have prom, you have anything that you're going to be photographed, and it's important to you, and you won't have time to exchange a foundation.
If you don't want a bright orange line on your chin the day of your wedding, come back when you're tan.
Correct. So that's my big thing. Please accept that if you go in without anything, you will be matched and you will be buying a foundation. And more than likely, if you'd say to me, well, let's get the next one up or two shades up. Okay, fine. But do you want to wear it now? Most people say yes. And I'm like,
whoa. You're going to look ridiculous.
Yeah, it's not going to match you now.
We're trying to help you.
Yeah.
Not make you come back.
Correct. And I know I hate going and returning and or exchanging makeup. And that's how I end up with half the crap that I have.
Right.
But anyway, the point is, keep it easy on us. Keep it easy on yourself. Especially, again, if you've got a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
Come back when you're tan.
It's worth the second trip.
It is.
To be...
Yeah. Or just having a second bottle of foundation. Sure. And by the way, most last 2+ years. Mm-hmm. So even if you open it just for that one event and you're only tan for a couple weeks, mm-hmm. when you're tan next summer and you still have it, you can still use it.
My rule is if it doesn't smell, if it's not separating,
yep.
And it doesn't look
bad,
visibly gross,
yep.
you're fine.
You're fine. I've had some foundation bottles for years because mm-hmm. I've been that shade when I was tan, and maybe yep. different tan doesn't make me that tan.
Oh, but let me clarify. You have to keep it clean. Keep it
yes,
closed.
Yes.
Don't stick
yeah.
your nasty hands in it.
No hands, no fingers, no nothing, and it don't...
Because bacteria grows, y'all.
It does. But eyeshadows. Some eyeshadows that I've had from MAC and other places mm-hmm. that I've never had to replace because, mm-hmm. one, I've never run out of them, because that's what happens when you buy quality over quantity.
Mm-hmm.
And... two, because they're not bad. Powder doesn't typically grow bacteria.
Really, yeah.
So as long as you keep your stuff cleanly and responsible and not in moisture held areas.
And if you're not sure, spritz it with a little bit of alcohol from about 6 inches away.
Yep. And then wipe it with a tissue, first layer, get a mm-hmm. couple layers off, whatever you feel make you comfortable. But generally doesn't go bad. So don't fret having, you know, 2 or 3 different shades of foundation and like it's all going to go bad.
I think I have 6 different bottles of foundation in my drawer right now.
Well, I mean, I own, like, 10 because
right.
I have my freelance kit, but for myself...
No, those are just for me.
Well, yeah, so for me, probably, like, 5.
Yeah.
Because I have different formulas, so sometimes mm-hmm. I'm waterproof, sometimes I'm not waterproof,
exactly.
so it might be more like 6 or 7.
Right, exactly.
And then I mix, and I go from there and create a lot, so...
Just do what's best for you.
Yep.
Make an extra trip.
Yep.
It's worth it.
Trust me. Please,
yes.
and save us all the time.
Just do it. We're tired
hassle.
Of the headache.
Yep. Anyway.
Okay, that's well, that's fame and misfortune.
Yep.
Okay, so our Patreon is going to be going up at some point, probably within the next month.
Okay.
I say probably.
If you have any ideas of what people would be interested, we would love
yeah,
feedback.
Yeah, if there's something that
and
you would like.
We should probably start again saying subscribe to
yes,
us on
I
iTunes.
I was just getting there. I was going to say, please, 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 please.
Follow on Twitter.
Follow on Twitter. FamPod, FamPod.
That's...
is Twitter.
Twitter, okay.
And then FamPodcast
is
Instagram.
Yep.
We have a Facebook. It's facebook.com/fameandmisfortune.
Okay.
Podcast.
Maybe.
I think. You'll
sure.
find it. And then we have a website, fameandmisfortunepodcast.com. If you are listening on an iPhone, please, for the love of God, just go in and rate it. Just click a star number down at the bottom
yeah,
on our
one,
podcast
two,
page.
1, 2, 3, 4,
pick
5,
it.
Whatever.
Rate it. We want to know how we're doing.
Yeah.
If you have time, leave a review.
I get it. I've barely ever left a review on anything, but I'll
yep.
give them stars. I will, like, rate things. I am admittedly bad about that, but it
yep.
would be helpful.
Yeah, it would be really great. And then if you have any questions, or if you're not sure, or if you have a makeup tip or a suggestion or something you just want to know about and want some free advice, send it to either our website or our Facebook or our email, which is fameandmisfortune@gmail.com.
Yeah, and I think also let us know what you might be interested in the Patreon,
uh-huh.
because we're a little bit lost. We have some ideas. We have Erin made up a good list, but we want to make sure...
We're very in the dark about all of this. We're new to it.
Yeah,
so.
But also we want to make sure we're giving people what they want. So,
sure.
you know, we don't want to offer things that people would be like, what, why, don't
exactly.
care about that. You know.
Yeah.
So,
I also found out that we broke 2,500 downloads.
Yes!
Which is
so
exciting.
Exciting.
So I'm wondering if we should start a live show.
And what top 50
work on
were
doing
in?
A live show. We're on top 50 society and culture.
That's awesome.
I know, right?
On iTunes?
Uh-huh.
Oh my God, can you believe it?
We're killing it. We're getting up there.
I can't believe that.
People like
cool.
us. They really like us.
They love us. They love me. They really love me.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
Okay, yeah. Well, you know, there's that, so.
Awesome. Love it. Beautiful.
All right, I guess we'll see you next Thursday.
Doing the thing. Sounds good. See you next Thursday.
Bye.
Bye.